I was telling Bill Temple last night.
He said that Vernon Burkhalter didn't burn it up with electrical fire, but just drove it hard.
Yeah, he drove it hard. It wasn't a real cold night. He had to go someplace, and he jumped in that thing without warming it up.
Frozen?
Huh?
You mean the radiator frozen and burn up, or did
you leave it?
Probably forgot it was on.
All I know is it burned the motor up on.
I didn't mean to interrupt. There's a leader on that tape, and I just wanted to make sure we finished that.
I was going to say, I hardly ever get depressed about anything, but when my friend Frank Sloan died, who was a manager over there for a long time, and he's the one that kind of took me under his wing and helped me out when I first went over there. And
this is a pilot.
Good friend, and, you know, I was all alone down there, and they were nice people. Anyway, when he died, someone called me, and I was in Houston then. I got up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and drove up there for that funeral, and when I hadn't been to Pineland maybe in 15 years, 10 or 15 years, and I drove in there, and everything was so different. You know, it was a pretty little town. I had picket fences, and it was a really nice little town, that little shopping center they put in there. And when I went through that thing early in the morning, there wasn't any sign of life, and it was completely different. All the old sawmill was gone and something new. And then I had to go up to Hempville at that funeral, and I really did get down over there, because that was a nice...
Do you remember what year that was?
Frank died.
That you revisited?
I just don't know. Someone that probably know when Frank died. He'd been with it. He was a second generation employee. His dad had worked there from forever.
I think that was when I was in Alaska.
Yeah.
Which had been in between 81 and 88.
So sometime in the early to mid-80s?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that funeral was in Hempville. And he'd had Monty, his wife, in Houston, and we lived down there then, and used to go to that MD Anderson, or Methodist Hospital, and visit her. And she was, they were good people. Boy, that town is full of good people, old-fashioned. Old Raspberry was a tough old nut. He was a planer foreman.
You know what I remember about Frank? It's in his house.
Talking about Frank Sloan?
Frank Sloan. Okay. His house, he had saved back exotic hardwoods and whatnot that he put in different parts of the house. But the mantle, remember that mantelpiece he had? Mantelpiece?
One big piece of something.
One big piece of cypress. It was clear cypress. It came out of 16 foot by, what did he tell me? 36 inches, I believe. 36 inches wide, 16 feet long. Mm. Of clear hard cypress.
Boy, there were some logs came in here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was telling Mr. Payne that I've gone through some records that came from Pineland here fairly recently.
30 inches wide.
And it was in the 40s, mid to late 40s, early 50s. And there's an awful lot of hardwood timber they seem to be cutting, you know, where the lakes, Toledo Bend and Sam River.
Yeah, they brought a lot of logs in there.
Yeah. And they did a moratorium on the cypress cutting all down in the Big Bend.
Big Thicket,
yeah. Gosh, I guess they never have cut. There used to be some huge, huge cypress coming out of that thing.
Yeah, they started cutting that cypress even before the Civil War.
Out of Beaumont. Company in Beaumont, Lutcher Moore was.
That was an orange.
Yeah, and they cut out. They finally just cut all of them, but they were big people in those days.
Yeah, Lutcher Moore was pretty big.
You know, I tell you, over at Pineland, one thing that was strange over there, in the early days, they had, when I first went over there, they had old stripped down early V8 Fords that they called jitneys. You know, they pull a lumber off the green chain as one of those wagons was full. And there were drivers that would hook onto that, and they'd pull it out on those high trams to a stack that was of similar grade, similar species. And the lumber stackers would then, by hand, pull it off of those buggies and stack it. So it could air dry. Hardwood has to air dry 1 month per quarter inch before you can put it in the dry kiln. And those things were built high because it was easier to start those stacks down. They didn't have to jack them way up in the air. And those jitneys would bring that lumber out there, and then they'd get all the way up, and I mean, those things were high, and they'd pull those things down on those great big lumberjacks, you remember? They, and put them up at the top. and then put cover boards on. And later on, when Ed Price did, they got one of those, it was a funny looking machine. You pulled it up to the stack and
straddle truck.
No, before that, Jack, don't you remember? It was that thing that went and around. It had cleats out here, and they'd put the boards on there, and that thing would jack it up, and then someone at the top would pull it off, and they'd stack it that way. They didn't have to jack those boards up. And then later, they changed it all to those big straddle trucks, and they stacked it side by side and layer by layer with a machine at the sawmill. The straddle truck came up and picked the whole thing up, and they redid the hardwood yard and made great big cement runners that the straddle truck went along and just dropped it down, and they got rid of all that heavy, heavy hand labor. When I first went over there, those colored guys probably were the highest paid employees on that yard, and they'd come out to work every morning with a big, thick denim jumper on, sleeves buttoned, collar buttoned, and a pair of overalls under them. And I was out there with a little thin knit shirt on trying to stay cool. And I thought, wow, in the world, are those guys going to ever make it through the day? Well, once they started working and all of their clothes got wet from perspiration, it was like an air-conditioned suit they had on. It never got hot all day. But that was hard work over there.
Well, I didn't mean to take all your time that you wanted to spend talking, but you're welcome to go through these scrapbooks and pictures if y'all.
That's Wolf & Temple Lumber Company, isn't it?
Yes, sir. I'll go ahead and stop the tape now.